Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, I think it's safe to say that we are all aware that sun protection is required on our skin in general through the summer months, at least, if not all year round. But spare a thought today for your lips. And I'm joined on the line by Dr. Rosemary Coleman, who's a consultant dermatologist. Rosemary, hello.
Good morning, Claire.
So the poor old neglected lips, you say they don't get much of a look in when it comes to SPF.
That's quite right, because people completely forget that your lips can get skin cancer as well, just as they can age and get a number of problems. So people forget to put their SPF on their lips.
And the health of your skin can tell you a lot about your general health. Is that right? I don't think a lot of people would have considered that.
Yes, lips are very interesting, and they're quite unique, the actual structure of them. And in particularly in younger people, when they're getting fissures on the corner of the mouth, little cuts and sores on the side of the mouth between the top and bottom lip, that can often signify iron, B12 or zinc deficiency. In older people, it often occurs because of loss of volume in the chin, and they get a lot of yeasts and bacterial infections. And then it can be a side effect of medications and other skin disorders. So, you know, if you've got chronic issues with the lips, don't ignore them. They can help signify a health problem.
Right. What about people who notice white patches on the lips or a blurring of the lip margin? What might that be telling them?
Well, that's a very good point, Claire, because as we get older, we lose that deep, intense colour in our lips, just like we lose the colour in our skin, and the lips become less distinct from the ordinary skin. However, if you see little white areas creeping in from your pale skin onto the lip, that's not normal aging. That is sun damage. It's called leukoplakia, and it can be precancerous. So it signifies that you've had significant lip damage. This would be very commonly seen in people who are outdoors, outdoor workers, people who do a lot of sporting activities outdoors. You'll often see this as well if you look at skiers, photos of people on the ski slopes. Their lips are always chapped and damaged. Mm-hmm. So get to the doctor with little white marks on your lips.
So what should we be doing then? Do we whoosh the SPF that we're putting on our face across our lips? Does that cut it?
Well, what I think is treat your lips as you would the rest of your face. A lot of people tend to stop the cleanser, the moisturizer, the sunblock. They stop at the lips and then they go and put on something on the lips. If typically females, I guess, we all like to put on glosses and colors. So I would say treat your lips as you treat the skin on your face every day. When you exfoliate your facial skin once a week, exfoliate your lips. Treat them with your moisturizer and your cleanser, and always remember your SPF. So I would put the facial SPF all over my face, eyes, eyelids, and lips. Then I would put on a lip balm on top of that. It can be harder to get lip balms that are cosmetically acceptable with an SPF. And it's very rare to find one that goes above 30. But ideally, you want zinc oxide in your SPF to protect your lips and just keep applying it.
Okay, as you would on your face, and as you have advised us a lot over the months and indeed years. Now, wrinkles around the lip area, common as we age, it can really bother people because it can leave the face with sort of a permanent scowl, like a resting face scowl. What can people do about that?
Yes. Well, there are three bits, really. There are the lip, the lines you get above the lip, the so-called barcode lines. There are the lines you get in the lips from people who speak in a pursing manner. And then there are the lines that you get extending from the corners of the mouth down towards the chin, the so-called marionette lines. So apart from all the usual preventative measures using active skincare, sunblock, etc., yes, lasers can help all of these, but probably the mainstay of treatment would be judicious use of small amounts of fillers. And note I said small.
You did. So, because there is a trend, and everyone listening to this will have seen it, for the trout pout Nobody wants that, do they? Well, some people do, but there's a lot of it around.
Lots of people seem to, Claire. Lots of people seem to want it, each to their own. I think it seems to be very fashionable in young people.
Yeah.
My concern there is that if you distend, if you over-distend the skin, just as if you over-distended a piece of clothing or a plastic bag, it won't necessarily contract back, such as the pregnant abdomen. You don't necessarily get stretch marks, but the skin will always be a bit stretched. And if you over-distend the lip, like the current fashion of putting in maybe 2 mils of filler, those lips can be left quite flabby if, and I say if, that filler ever disappears spontaneously. It doesn't always disappear because it can stimulate collagen and leave you with these overfilled flabby lips.
Don't do it.
So there is a possible long-term consequence. Well, I'm not in any way anti-lip filler. It's the quantity. Mm. But that's up to personal taste.
I suppose it is. Now, let's get to our questions. Always so many of them. This listener, every month or so, my lips get tingly and irritated and feel a bit inflamed. The likes of a cold sore, though, doesn't develop. I feel like I need to apply lip balm all of the time. And this listener is in perimenopause and wondering if that might have something to do with it.
Okay, well, first of all, menopause does not cause a lip problem per se. So okay. Menopause does a lot, but it won't make your lips tingle. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is what lip balm she is using, because tingling typically will occur with, say, lip balms containing camphor, eucalyptus, menthol, any of those. Could one of the lip balms that she's now using frequently have an allergen, have something like a fragrance or a flavor, or lanolin, salicylic acid? Any of those active ingredients can cause problems. So what happens is when the lips get dry, we all reach for the lip balm, but the lip balm won't necessarily be the solution if you're allergic to something you're in contact with. So, you know, lips, when lips get inflamed, they can get allergic contact dermatitis, just like your hands or anywhere else. And you really do need to try to remove the offending item. And that could be spicy foods. It could be that you're walking around sucking on a metal clip or sucking on a necklace, and if you're allergic to nickel. So what I'd say there is it's not menopause. She may well be allergic to something that she's coming in contact
with.
Okay,
a bit of isolation, really, to find out what that is.
Yes, a bit of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Mm. Now, can you ask Rosemary if she's any answers for curing angular chelitis? Have I said that properly?
Yes.
What's that?
Yes. Well, we call it angular chelitis.
Chelitis.
Say chelitis. That's the condition I mentioned there at the opening, whereby you get a fissure, a crack in the corner of the mouth.
Oh, yes.
And it's quite easy to treat in younger people, but the most challenging age group for that is actually middle-aged women for some reason. And you want to rule out a nutritional deficiency such as iron, B12 or zinc. You have to assess the competence. Has the mouth anatomy changed? Because as we age, our jawbone shrinks and the chin goes back and you can get sort of some guttering and drooling of saliva. Is that the problem? If that's the problem, we use filler. I use that in 85-year-olds who have that problem and it gets very sore and cut. Or is it simply an infection? I found one particular medication very helpful in that middle-aged age group. It's called Nystiform HC, and they could get that from their GP and try that. The GP could also swab the corners of the lips to see are they growing a bacteria like Staphylococcus aureus, or is it thrush? Is it candida? Do they have dentures? Do they have candida on the dentures? All these sort of things.
Mm, so there's lots that listener can do.
Yes,
so this listener says, would like some advice on very chapped lips. They can clear a little for a short period, then become very flaky again, and they're peeling all of the time. It's going on for 18 months.
Well, that's like the other person, the perimenopausal woman with dry skin. They may well have an allergic chelitis, and they will probably require patch testing carried out by a dermatologist to a common panel of allergens. So a lot of the time, the ingredients of lip balms can actually cause an allergy in themselves. So there's nothing wrong. Lip balms are great. Sunblock is great. But you want to check the ingredients on your lip balms. As with all these things, Claire, the simpler, the better. So, you know, it's nice to have ceramides, petrolatum, etc., but you want to leave out the allergenic ingredients. So I think she could try some hydrocortisone over the counter for just a week. But if it keeps coming back, you need to find out what she's allergic to. Or indeed, I don't mean to alarm her, but inflammatory bowel disease can present with chapped, fissured lips. Crohn's disease can present. Yes. Crohn's disease can actually present with fissures and inflamed lips because it will affect the entire gastrointestinal tract. So that's medical causes can appear there.
Okay. So
and side effects of drugs. I didn't mention that.
So. Right. So she might have to do a little bit of investigation with a
Wait
medic.
To the doctor.
Now, here's a more general one. My husband has psoriasis. The sun seems to help, but is it worse in the long run if you're not using sunscreen when you're using the sun to help clear the psoriasis?
So we call that home heliotherapy. So I would often even recommend that for very short controlled periods. So would it be a bad idea for him to become totally dependent on the sun curing his psoriasis or clearing it, or indeed getting a sunbed at home? It would be disastrous because people with psoriasis, independent of whatever treatments they're using, have an increased incidence of skin cancers. So I would say that that can be a very appropriate treatment in a controlled fashion, preferably under supervision, because if he is on immunosuppressive agents or if he has had UVB therapy in the hospital in the past, when people have it in the hospital, Claire, we actually keep a very detailed record of how many joules of light we've given them. And there is a threshold above which we won't give it to them because the risk of skin cancer gets too high.
Mm. So don't do that as a treatment unsupervised.
It depends on what he's talking about. If he's talking about, you know, 20 minutes of pure daylight, first thing in the day, if it's a sunny day for 2 weeks, you know, every 6 months, there's no problem. But if he's talking about going to Greece a couple of times a year, burning himself silly, getting 3 months clearance, he's going to get skin cancers.
Yeah. I mean, people are so desperate though, aren't they, to find a solution for psoriasis.
Absolutely.
It's an awful problem for some people.
Oh, but there are fabulous treatments for it now, Claire. It's not like the olden days when you had to be covered in mucky tar solutions or you had to go to hospital for like 3 months. There are fantastic treatments for psoriasis now. Nobody should be suffering with it and miserable.
Mm-hmm. So you need to go out and find them rather than relying on the sun
straight
treatment
to the GP,
as you said.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, we will leave it there, Rosemary. We have so many questions, but you'll be back with us and we'll go through some of them then. And there'll be others when you do come back to us. That's Dr. Rosemary Coleman, who is a consultant dermatologist.